Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined this afternoon by comedian Gavin Webster. He's a Newcastle fan. Bit nervous, I think it's fair to say, about tonight's game against, who are they playing? Mine's gone blank.
Norwich tonight.
Six-pointer.
Yeah, exactly. And we gave him a couple of ideas for players they should sign, which he wasn't quite sure about.
Wasn't massively keen on. One is a returning player. Rupert Bell joined us, and we discussed golf, football, racing, and death metal. Not necessarily in that order. We had a bit of a chat. In one case, a slightly longer chat.
Very long.
But Charlie hit us with one of those stories that goes, and that man was the kind of story you do.
We should do more of those on Thursday, Paul.
Yes, we'll have people's
and
stories.
Is that about it? I think it probably
that's
is.
It. I'm
yeah.
sure
that's enough. That'll keep you going. Here it all is. This is Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker with you through until four here on TalkSport. Weather this afternoon, Charlie, just listening to Fletch there talking about Manchester United's interim boss.
Oh, yeah.
It struck me that if, you know, he's a nightmare for vent acts, isn't he? Who's the Man United interim boss that? What was that? It's really hard to say.
What has he banned from the training ground? A bottle of beer.
That's it, yeah.
It's a nightmare.
Got a crush up. So anyway, apropos of nothing, but you could tell us some of the people from sport that's a bit of a nightmare if you're a ventriloquist. I mean, it's a bit of a
good
Charlie,
luck. Good luck with that, Paul.
Charlie's choice on a Tuesday.
I'm just saying. I mean, we'll get some strange answers.
See, that's why I'm not winning the awards. Anyway, what's coming up, Charlie?
Coming up over the next 3 hours, we'll look ahead to tonight's Premier League games with Newcastle supporting Gavin Webster and Palace fan Elliot Steele. A Ballon d'Or judge tell us why he didn't vote for Messi, and we're in Oz to discover why bad weather and the new variant could derail the Ashes.
That's right. We'd also welcome your un-Ronaldo-like mundane ambitions. And we'll look at the task facing the new coach of Fort William.
Yes, there's all this. Plus, we'll look at the hot picks of the World Darts draw. And Coventry 87 Cup winner Dave Bennett pays tribute to his old gaffer, John Sillett.
It is 7 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie. And let me start by congratulating you, Max and Barry, for the fine win in the Football Supporters Association Awards, Radio Show of the Year. Mm. The warm-up.
The warm-up, Paul.
Yeah, congratulations.
That's very kind of you, Paul. Very kind of you. I'm very pleased. Very, very pleased.
Yeah.
Max won about everything. So I don't know if it was just Max's family and friends voting on
it. Was a big rush and push.
I think it was. He really pushed it.
Fantastic. Well done.
Good stuff. I've had a lovely... Lovely gift from, you know, my best Wales team, Paul,
yeah,
who I absolutely wrote off the other week.
Yeah,
and since then they've been on my case.
Well, we were doing a Paddy Acker, weren't we? And it was a quiet day. It was International Week, and there was only a few games on. And I said, League of Wales, and you said Aberystwyth would get cuffed.
Well, they were playing a TNS, Total Network Salute.
They're not anymore. But anyway, they're top of the league. Aberystwyth weren't, and you said
even
this is...
the Paddy Power guys laughed at me and said, "Well, yes, of course they're going to lose that 9-1 on or something like that."
That's right, they were.
They were something like that. Anyway, we've since had them on the show.
Yeah.
Since we're all over Twitter, it's an absolute love fest.
You love them now, don't you?
They're unbeaten since I've been in.
You're kidding.
They've won twice, Paul.
Okay.
They've won twice. They play again Friday night, Connors Quay, at home. They play Friday night, 8 o'clock.
You are now kind of, you're invested in them. That's great.
I mean, they'll never get anywhere near my beloved Gulls, but, you know.
No, still, another it's a nice seaside to have a backup, team. Isn't it?
They sent me a shirt, Paul.
Yeah.
Sent me a shirt. It's the home shirt. It's green.
Signed by all the boys. That's lovely, isn't it?
Signed by all the lads.
And on the back, it's got John.
John 23.
John 23. Have you seen what passage of the Bible
verse for?
Not John 3:16.
Yeah, there we are. So thank you very much
to do that. Very kind of them.
Thank you, Aberystwyth Town, for my shirt. I shall wear it next time I play five a side. They're lovely stuff.
Now, ambitions. Would you sign shirt? Are you going to wear a signed shirt for five a side?
I'm not being rude, but I wish they hadn't signed it.
Really? Because now you feel duty-bound to go out and get quite an expensive glass cabinet for
exactly,
it.
You know.
Or one of those
get
busts
it framed now, Paul.
On a motor that Stephen Gerrard and Michael Owen have at home in their museum room. So, yeah, like when they've swapped shirts and it's on a proper bust and it revolves in a perfectly
Who's
lit
that? Oh,
case.
That's John 23 from Aberystwyth. What's his first name? Yeah. Don't ask any more questions.
It'd be nice enough to send it. Don't start.
I'm not slagging it off. I'm just
having a pop-em.
I mean, I'm going to wash it. Does Sharpie come
don't
out?
Set light to it. No, he's not really. Aberystwyth. It's a lovely shirt. It is nice.
Lovely shirt. Very
now,
nice.
Ambitions. We'll talk ambitions. We are going to talk about the Ballon d'Or shortly because we're very lucky to have one of the judges join us. One of those that gets to vote.
Who does get to vote on it?
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out from the man himself shortly, Henry Winter from The Times. But you're probably aware that Cristiano Ronaldo wasn't happy with France Football's, I think it was his editor-in-chief, had said, Ronaldo once told me that all he wanted to do, his ambition in life was to get more Ballon d'Ors than Messi. And he's very upset. He's called the man in question a liar. And he's actually told you what his ambition is. He said, the biggest ambition of my career is to leave my name written in golden letters in the history of world football. And I thought, that's a mighty ambition, isn't it? And it struck me that none of the talk sport listeners, maybe even yourself, Charlie, have got maybe more sort of prosaic, mundane ambitions.
Just
it might be that you might want
stuff.
To be able to put your trousers on in the morning without falling over. Maybe your ambition isn't quite as lofty as your name being written.
I want to be able to fit into this slim fit football shirt I've been sent.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, that is in your power.
Exactly.
That is definitely in your
power. It's a great ambition.
And that are the good people of Itsu as well. They do make a smaller portion if you are in.
I've got to get through the show,
Paul. Eat that much rice. So, gluten-free. So, tell us about your mundane ambitions. Maybe not. Maybe you want to have your name written in golden letters in the history of world football.
Yeah, maybe that'd be nice.
I think we all do, but it's unlikely we're going to do that.
Is your name written anywhere, Paul? Like on an honours board somewhere?
Yeah, it is.
Maybe on a trophy?
I wasn't aware of this. It was our mate Lee Mack who told us. He went up to the BBC a little while ago. He said, You're on this corridor, the comedy corridor at the BBC.
Right.
Your name's on this. They used to do a comedy bursary. They've been doing it for years. A lot of great people have done it. Stuart Lee did it. Richard Herring did it. Lots of Hunter and Doherty, Rory McGrath, Jimmy Marvel, lots of people. Simon Blackwell, great writers, still working in TV and stuff. And so 1 year, I fluked my way onto it.
So in 1986,
and there's this kind of roll of honour of all the people who've done it, and they kind of engrave it. But I'm sure quite a lot, I had no idea, quite a lot of the listeners, I would imagine, are up there. Maybe they've been club captain in the
cricket.
Lovely,
yeah.
Just to see your name in gold letters.
Oh, I'd love that.
That would be nice.
Where's your name engraved or written in gold letters?
Have you got your name engraved on a trophy?
Cub of the year I was, Paul, in 1987. Locally, not nationally.
I was going to say, that would be fantastic. Cub of the year.
It's a cup of the year.
Your dad's got an
My dad's on a plaque. A shield.
It's on
a shield for longest runner bean.
Oh, that's tremendous.
Isn't that lovely? Longest runner bean in the village in Teen Grace.
In the village?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a hard thing to grow, Paul.
Yeah.
A runner bean in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah, and
true.
Then to try and. And he used to have a friend who'd come up and measure it. And if he didn't think he had a longer one,
Charles Hawtrey.
If he didn't think he had a long one, he wouldn't enter.
Imagine that. You walking past the room as a young boy and saying, "Will you come up and measure it for me?" Doris won't do it for me.
Yeah, lovely.
Anyway, you get the idea with that. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. Your less than lofty ambitions, which probably aren't in line with Cristiano Ronaldo's. This is all about the Ballon d'Or. Yeah. We'll kick off talking about that.
Talking about the Ballon d'Or earlier, and you said there was an obvious winner and the judging went a different way, I thought you were talking about RuPaul's Drag Race.
Because really? I think you're absolutely right, Paul. Crystal Versace was robbed.
Well,
no, well, Crystal Versace won. Kitty Scott Claus was robbed.
You could be talking a foreign language. I should maybe should check it out. Really, oh, wow, very really odd should. Picture that you've sent out wearing that shirt, Charlie.
Is it?
A bit creepy, that.
Well, I mean, that's just how I am.
A bit of a creepy, creepy picture, Charlie, sent out. If you want to go and spot on Twitter, that on, go and have a look at Twitter the in the backwards Aberystwyth shirt.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Newcastle United, as you've just been hearing, take on Norwich City tonight. And the feeling is, unless they get something from these next couple of games, their goose is cooked, despite the fact there's a lot of games still to come. Yeah, there will be money to spend.
Clocks have only just gone back, Paul. Mm. People panic, don't they? Too dramatic.
Let's have a chat now with Newcastle United fan, comedian Gavin Webster. Good afternoon, Gavin.
Hello, lads.
How big is tonight in your eyes, would you say? I mean, you just need something to kickstart. Get that first win.
Yeah.
And you could be off and underway.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. I think a win is important tonight. I don't want to do the cliche thing of saying a scruffy 1-0 win, because I don't think I think that's kind of ridiculous, I always think. Just a win will do, even if it's entertaining.
Yeah. So you'd rather go for an entertaining 5-0 win than a scruffy 1-0 win, is what you're saying.
Interesting.
I've watched some great 1-0s down the years, haven't you?
I've seen some good 0-0s, but we won't go down that route. Yeah.
No, you want St Maximum to be his brilliant self, just run at Norwich and give him what for. But Norwich have picked up some form, they, Gav.
Yeah, they're starting to put something together now. I think even teams that go down bottom of the table in history, in football history, they always have a good run at some point, you know, even if it's just a couple of games. And this might be our team, it may be Norwich's team, I don't know. But we've certainly got we've just got to get maybe if you've got like a couple of wins on the bounce, it makes all the difference. Mm. That's what it tends to do.
I think they've said there's going to be £50 million to spend on players in January, and I'm sure a few Newcastle fans will. £50 million, they've got that down the back of the settee, haven't they? They must be thinking 50. I was thinking 100, at least 150, just to get us out of trouble. I mean, 50 could potentially get you a couple of good players. It could. I mean, I would imagine it's that difficult thing of you could get, because players want to play in the World Cup. You could bring in some quality players on loan potentially who need game time. But then, how invested are they in it if they're just passing through? That's the danger. But who can you get in January? Who's going to be sort of committed to the cause?
Well, I wouldn't like to see any names, because, as you say, it's who would you like, you know, in a fantasy world, who would you like, but who would you practically want to have, if you know, do you know what I mean, just to get us through these next few months? It's a difficult one. I mean, it's always a difficult dilemma with clubs that are getting promoted, isn't it? Because you need teams to get you up, and then you have to ditch that squad and have a new lot. That's the problem with modern football, I think. you have to sell something to somebody that for the next few months, perhaps, rather than the next few years. And a football career is short. So I don't know. It is a bit of a dilemma, but it's a nice dilemma, though, isn't it? You know, because he's got money to spend.
You pleased about Eddie Howe, Gav? I mean, he probably thought he had 50 million quid to spend at Bournemouth. He's probably gone to the world's richest club, same budget as he's got at Bournemouth.
I'm sure if someone comes out of the woodwork, if Mbappe does fancy leaving in January, they'll find the money somehow. But I think 50 is the basic amount they've got.
You're pleased with Eddie Howe, are you, Gav?
Yeah, I think that's the best option that we could have got at this particular time. I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't know whether anybody knows what somebody like Den Targ is like at Ajax. I don't know how he works or anything. But I think we're all quite aware of what Eddie Howe can offer. He seems to work very hard. He always seems to be there, and he puts the hours in
you sound like a bit
he
like
turns
that,
up.
That teacher who gives somebody a C+ in games at school and says always does his best. you're not making him sound like Pep here at all.
Well, it was actually I'll give this away. It was a bit of a dig at previous regimes, really. At least he actually turns up and does a lot of sessions rather than disappearing on a holiday, but I'll not see any more.
Maybe Eddie Howe's going to look at form players from the Championship. I mean, there's a guy who scored a couple at the weekend, Andy Carroll. I don't know if you saw that. He scored a couple. Maybe you could go back into the Championship.
Andy Drinkwater, you'll probably bring those to him for 50 million quid.
Yeah. Andy Carroll turns
that
up.
Same Andy Carroll, or was it somebody with the same?
Same Andy Carroll. Scored for Reading at the weekend.
Don't worry,
I mean, there's quite a few players that have got a bit to prove. I mean, Lascelles can't play tonight, and nor can Matt Ritchie. And I saw Alan Shearer saying today, maybe that's just as well the way they've been playing. But there's a whole bunch of players who've got a lot to prove before January, especially as they're players that could come in. One or two of them can find themselves maybe shipped out, either sold or on loan. So who's the core? When you think of the players that you want to see in a Newcastle shirt once the revolution is kind of really taking off and they're spending serious money, who are those core players that you definitely want to keep?
Well, he's going to give these people a fair crack of the whip, which whether he intended to do that or not, he's been forced to do that. So that's quite good, because you have to, if you prove yourself over a month or two, you know, and get your way into the side, you like, for example, Shelby's been in and out over the years, but he's now been given a role by Eddie Howe to be the playmaker. I think that's quite an old-fashioned word now. Remember that was a new word and everybody thought that was fancy Lillis, old, a bit old hat now, but the man that makes the play, the ball player. And I like Shelby, and if he was to be given a few more games, let's see what he's got and see if he can be the linchpin, you know, as regards keeping us up. But if you get five or six games and you don't really perform, I think that's fair enough. You could be shipped out then. Maybe the Longstaff said Thorn, you know, he could get another chance. He started very well, then he didn't do so well.
Disappeared, didn't he? Yeah, he sort of disappeared.
When you describe them, they sound like a folk act, don't they? Fantastic. The Cambridge Folk Festival.
A jug of punch with the Longstaffs.
Saturday night, the Longstaffs. Yeah, could just fiddle and guitar, both sing.
They do a bit of patter in between the songs.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they tell you
one
the songs.
And then one finger in the ear and they're off. Yeah. With War Geordie lost his penga.
My lady. We're doing all that. The Longstaffs, ladies
War
and gentlemen.
War Geordie's lost his penga.
Yeah.
War Geordie's lost his penga.
There we are.
What have you got coming up, Gav? What have you got coming up, mate?
I'm hoping to have a book out shortly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've been my first attempt at a book called Buddhism and Other Such Rubbish. It's about
Blimey. Well, that'll divide the room, won't it? Blimey. Probably among the Buddhists and non-Buddhists.
I'm sure they'll forgive you, though.
We weren't expecting that, all our Buddhist listeners. Yeah. I'm sure you'll be willing to forgive him, because that is very much in your nature. So when's it out, Gav?
Well, hopefully in about a month. I don't think I can quite make it to the Christmas market, but that's not a big Buddhist thing, really. But actually, very quickly, it's about that title is indicative of people that know very little about subjects that bang on about them and they don't know a great deal. And there's lots of examples of that, and that's one.
Especially at the moment. Yeah. More than ever. We won't go into that.
And on that note, it's Drive with Andy Goldstein at 4 o'clock. Just a little joke.
You're having a
little joke, Paul. No, it's a little joke.
You comedians. Well, Andy can come looking for you, him and Goffy.
I'm sure he will.
Thank you, Gavin. All the best. Good to talk to you.
Oh, likewise. Thanks, lads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We asked you a couple of things today. Cristiano Ronaldo has quite lofty ambitions, and it's not, as he's been accused of by France Football's managing editor, that he wants to get more Ballon d'Ors than Messi. That's his life's work. He says his biggest ambition is, and we quote, to leave his name written in golden letters in the history of world football. Lovely. But some of us have much more kind of mundane.
Exactly. Put the USB stick in the right way up, Paul.
That's the kind of thing.
Just that sort of thing.
Just those sorts of things. You've given us some fairly mundane ones this afternoon, so do keep those coming. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Some madman came on earlier on and said he dreams one day of having a separate sock and pants drawer.
But, two draws.
He realises he's a dreamer. and we also asked you, what was that after the same? The golden letters.
Else anyone was if you'd had your name engraved somewhere,
have
or
you been immortalised?
You were on an honours board somewhere. And this is Gaz, the Wolves fan from Telford, won the Golden Glowstick Award for best hardcore rave MC. Just missed out that year, did you, Paul?
That's right.
That was the year you missed out.
Neither did I.
For best hardcore rave MC, the Jailhouse Nightclub in Hereford.
Gosh. You played there, Charlie?
Where you going? The Jailhouse Nightclub in
Hereford.
Can you
get yourself up there next week? Just 20 minutes. 20 minutes in the snow.
You'll never get out. You'll never leave.
That's right.
My name was printed in the frame on the paper it came in. So I took it down to Timpson's, other engravers are available, and got my artist name, MC Gazzy J.
MC Gazzy J.
Yeah, here we go. Hold on tight. MC Gazzy J in the house. Engraved in gold to go in the frame.
Engraved in gold. You can do the whole thing.
Engraved in gold in the frame. Still my preface the treatment. Let me hear you go. Some ease cream. All the ladies to date from Gaz the Wolves fan in Telford. Let me hear it for the Wolves.
Yeah.
Are you glad all over?
Oh, Charlie, you're good. You're good, this. There's some music radio gigs waiting for you. Funny enough, we had quite a personal one coming from Gareth, and I think there is a compliment in there somewhere. Looking at the new TalkSport app, shows pictures of the presenters. I'm surprised that Charlie Baker is better looking than his voice suggests.
What was he expecting? Like, wears all Gummidge or something?
I thought
hello there, welcome to TalkSport.
I think he saw Charlie Higson in Ted and Ralph.
Yeah.
He saw you as a bit like that.
A bird's nesting in my beard or something like that.
He probably saw you.
Some worms coming out of my shoes.
Jeremy says, as a rabid sports fan, I'm so pleased that my name is engraved twice on the Royal Canadian Curling Club Sunday Mixed Trophy.
Oh, lovely.
Only thing I've ever won, school included, he says.
It's great when you win something, isn't it, Paul?
So your name has ever been in lights. Now, do let us know this afternoon. And you're kind of more mundane ambitions.
Genji's been on from Bristol. I dream of finishing a cup of tea before it goes cold. Oh, do you know what's worse than that? Running a bath, you get in it and it's cold.
Really?
And you've run a cold bath, Paul. There's nothing worse. Once or twice a year, I'll do
it. Have you run a cold bath, or have you run a bath that was hot and let it get cold?
Once or twice a year, I'll accidentally run a cold bath. What an idiot.
Do you get in it then?
Yeah, and you put one foot in and then, oh, God.
So what do you do? This is a really interesting conversation, but what I'm guessing you do is run quite a lot of water out and then put hot in,
get in it and then keep the hot tap going.
Yeah.
Just hot.
This is why you'll probably be known at the O2 as Charlie Put Your Shoes On.
This bit isn't the bit, no?
Charlie Cold Bath.
Okay, here we go. Here he is. Put your shoes on.
Imagine that. They said, well, you know, it was like 70 quid a ticket. And I wanted much more. I wanted to see. The cold bath stuff was terrible. It just went nowhere.
Felt like new material. I don't know what he was on about.
Why did he do new material? 70 quid a ticket in the O2. Just give us more stuff about not having
do
any
the
shoes.
Shoe stuff
just
again,
do the
mate.
Shoe stuff. That's what we came for. Cold bath. Anyway,
rubbish.
We move on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport. Your mundane ambitions. This one's not that mundane, actually. Okay. Kevin says, ever since I got into heavy metal 35 years ago, I've always wanted to actually play a live gig. I've decided that next year this will happen.
Do it.
I have the band name, Wolfsargen. I mean,
Wolfsargen.
I don't know what it means. It sounds sort of a bit Germanic and heavy metal.
Yeah.
And a drummer. As a drummer and a name. This probably seems mundane to some, but remember the name.
What does Kevin do? What does Kevin do?
I don't know.
Is he a singer? Is
imagine
he
he's
going to
be a singer.
I wonder if he's in that sort of Napalm Death.
Old Barney, big Villa lovely. Fan. Talking of Villa fans.
Okay. Is he into thrash metal, Rupert?
Let's find out. Rupert Bell joins us now. Thrash metal, Rupert. Death metal, where do you stand on that?
For once, I'm not able to offer anything.
You haven't got that particular hat. That's one hat you
don't.
That's one hat you don't.
Thrash, what is it?
We're looking for a thrash metal correspondent.
Yeah, we are. Let's turn now to our death metal correspondent, Rupert Bell.
Thrash metal, is it fun?
just next time you do a commentary, just put the microphone very close to your lips.
Some of the songs are like 2 seconds long.
Yeah,
like,
they are. It would be like, imagine it in a very, very short flat race. Anyway, we'll move on, Rupert, because there's a couple of things I want to talk to you about, in all seriousness. One of them is Tiger Woods, and more or less admitting that his days as a major force, effectively, in golf, are gone, and letting us know just how serious the injuries were from that car accident he had.
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, when you see footage of that car accident that happened with Tiger Woods driving on his own at quite a speed, how he actually survived in the first place, I think, is extraordinary. But it was obviously touch and go, a really serious break to one of his legs, his right leg, and as a result, you know, it's when he might have even lost it, but it's a long rehabilitation process. We did see pictures of him hitting a golf ball the other day, but I think, as everybody knows, you know, he had back problems, which he managed to get back to playing quite well and doing all right. There's no two ways about it. But this, as he said, is an Everest that he's not going to climb again. So he might make it to tournament level, but in many ways, this long road might just see him playing a few seniors events down the line, because I think it would be slightly unedifying, even if a sort of half-fit Woods is out there hobbling around or whatever way it is. You know, that's not what we want to remember.
It's a touch of the Monty Python knight about him, isn't there, you know? I'm just a nick.
Yeah. I mean, the fact he'll pick and choose. He says he'll pick and choose his tournaments. That's the way it's likely to go from his point of view. I mean, what do you think the criteria will be, Rupert?
Well, he's what we'll see probably is he might play a few exhibitions and then to see whether he is half competitive. That would have to be the way forward. We just seen the Kepka-DeChambeau match last week. You know, so there are potential opportunities for him to see if he has got any, you know, can be a competitive against the modern player, the fully fit player. Because if he still has got a bad leg, and his body anyway will have taken an absolute pounding from that accident. He's got the bad back. He's had endless operations throughout his career. I just don't think we want to see him hobbling or just playing the shadow of his former self, because when he was at his pomp, he was just extraordinary. And that's what I think we all want to remember, rather than just the sort of Gloria Swanson, the faded superstar that we all go and see hoping, but really it's all a bit sad in the end.
It's the golf courses that got smaller.
And there we are, bringing it back to Sunset Boulevard. On another topic, please put on your jockey silks quickly, Rupert, one of your other interests. And the serious subject of the BHA Independent Disciplinary Panel, who will be hearing from Bryony Frost and from Robbie Dunn in the they'll be talking about the culture, the weighing room, all the fallout from the bullying accusations that have gone on. Quite a few people writing about this today, because you know lawyers will be involved. Talking about both of them, firing questions for their client. Reputationally, there's a lot of stuff going to be aired that probably neither of them will like.
No, and racing won't like either, because it's, in essence, it's Robbie Dunn, 36-year-old sort of, you know, I don't want to be disparaging, but you're a journeyman, hard-working, grafting, no-nonsense jump jockey, calls a spade, gets on, you know, and basically he's been having a spat with Bryony Frost over a couple of race-riding incidents, and she's then accused him basically of bullying. There was a 120-page report produced by a guy, Chris Watt, but he's now left the BHA.
there are times when Robbie Dunn is alleged that someone rang him and said, if you carry on as the way you are, we're going to break your legs with all these allegations at Briony Frost. It's a very unsavory situation. And the BHA have been dragging their feet. And it came to light last year at Boxing Day when after Briony Frost won the King George on Frodon, she said there was a lot of negative things going on. And this is obviously what it's in relation to. There is going to be this lengthy hearing. Mm. And Robbie Dunn has plenty of support within the weighing room, including, it would seem, from a number of female jockeys. Briony Frost does seem to not have that many friends within the weighing room. But she is quite right if she feels that she has been subject to a continuous harassment in many ways and bullying from Robbie Dunn, to bring this to everyone's notice. So it is going to be the old school way of, you know, the senior jockeys would tell the young jockeys what they did wrong. Well, maybe that's not fit for quite the way it works now, because the world has evolved. You know, there were times when if Peter Scudamore, Tony McCoy said to a young jockey, don't do that, you know, that never Peter Scudamore allegedly was never come up on the inside of me when I'm coming to a fence. Mm. So there was all, you know, that the senior had the rule with their experience and learn. And so this is what is all part of the culture. The younger jockeys normally get educated. And I've spoken to Lizzie Kelly about it. She knows that when she started out, she would take note of what the senior jockey said to her. Now, clearly what is aggrieved to Briony Frost, and this will all come out, the alleged that the way that he went about it, she perceived to be bullying.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 6-day hearing and then it's taken long enough to get to this day. So I doubt there'll be a resolution to this anytime soon, but we'll keep an eye on that, I'm sure. And finally, Rupert, you're off to Villa Park tomorrow night to see the return of Jack Grealish. I mean, I imagine he'll get a great reception, won't he?
Yes, he will, because I think... Yeah, I think he will. Look, there might be the sort of bad boy boo, you know, that thing, and that's all right, because I think he will expect it. But he, at heart, we know he is a huge Villa fan. It will be an emotional moment. He talked about being in tears when he left for 100. There were 100 million reasons for those tears. Mm-hmm. But he left with every... We understood that he had to move on. And now with a Steven Gerrard era upon us, you know, we have a chance to rebuild. We've done all right. I am really excited about going to the game, because also my brother is a Manchester City supporter and it would be nice to put one over him. Have Jack Grealish walking away from Villa Park with the tail between his legs, and Steven Gerrard remains 3 from 3. You know, so happy days. But I go with a great deal of optimism. But I will look, I love watching Jack Grealish in a Villa shirt. And occasionally when I see him doing his stuff for City, I'd say, yes, he is one heck of a player. I realise that. But tomorrow, I just hope he has an absolute stinker.
You sound like you're warming to Steven Gerrard after initially being a bit sceptical.
Sure, every football fan is like this, isn't he? You know, he's unknown goods. But I have to say, he's played every card right at the moment. And the players have responded. And look, OK, the bubble will have burst eventually. But let's the difference. And I don't, it's not Dean Smith. I think they just got stale. But Dean Smith clearly is a good manager, because he's giving some hope for Norwich. So but I think, you know, if we do want to get, as they say, the dreaded next level. If Steve Gerrard, you know, you sense how ambitious he is, and we'll go along with him, hoping that he can continue to galvanise the squad as he is. But tomorrow night, wrapping up warm, can't wait.
There's a little bit of extraneous noise on your line, Rupert, as we chat to you. And Ian Danter says, it sounds like Rupert's clicking casino chips while you're talking to him.
I was trying to open some sweets we've had.
I like the idea of Rupert sitting there playing a hand of poker while he chats to us.
Can you ask Rupert to stop playing with that abacus? That's from Jeff, from Nige.
Well, no, I'm trying to click for some thrash metal or whatever it is. Yes. Talk to Ian. And I'm surprised Ian Danter will now no doubt be ringing me to say, I can play you some of those tracks. Yes,
well, go and check it out, Rupert. I'm sure it's right up your street. Look out, there's a band called Napalm Death.
Yeah, they're the ones.
Death metal. But Barney is a big Villa fan. He's a fellow Villa fan. So you'll be supporting the Villa by listening to some of their music.
Thinking it's me eating now.
Eating. You're Rupert. Not that noisy an eater, are you?
Rupert's opening sweets. Yeah. Got a whole bag of Quality Street in front of him.
Well, enjoy the game tomorrow, Rupert. Box. Thanks for joining us.
I'm actually off to go and see the Body Hacker now. So
lovely.
Who's the Body Hacker?
Well, You don't ask, but he's a man who tries to keep me in shape so I can go to a thrash metal gig.
Yeah, oh, okay, fantastic. So you can, you feel free to stage dive.
The Body Hacker would be a good name for a death metal band. Actually, wouldn't it? The Body Hackers.
Well, I'm not sure. Well,
Rupert Bell and the Body Hackers.
I'm not sure. Anyway, I've just looked it up and I'm not comfortable with it, Rupert. We'll leave you to it. Thanks very much.
Very good. Bye-bye.
There we are.
Always takes a turn, doesn't it?
Yeah, that really took a turn.
It's a good turn.
So
you've Googled the wrong thing, have you? There, Paul,
well, I looked up. Anyway, let's hope he's not going there. Don't go there, Rupert.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Wolfie's been in touch and seems to have embraced something and has put a great deal of thought into something that at the moment is not going to happen.
Oh,
he said, I now can't get the song New Shoes out of my head. Surely it's perfect for Charlie's walk-on music at the O2.
What
you've got to do is put your shoes on. Now, that's right, yeah.
Exactly.
The Charlie Baker Put Your Shoes On tour.
Could be a
especially
while,
if Charlie can do it himself on an acoustic as he walks out from the side of the stage.
I don't actually do a bit of material about the New Shoes. It was just a small little throwaway bit, Paul, wasn't it? You know, put your shoes on. A few more things have come in about my appearance, Paul. Jesus. Colebrook Royals Vets.
It's probably a Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah, Jesus. Now, just seen a picture of you on the Talksport radio app because someone was surprised at what I looked like,
They said you look better than your voice.
Yeah,
which was a bit
don't know why, but I thought you might be a bit taller. How can you tell from an app? I mean, I'm not very tall. I will say that, you know, it's
you're not the tallest of men.
No, and we've also had Paul. We've also had where is it? Oh yeah, because earlier on we were discussing with that about them changing the toss in cricket.
Chatting to Tony Shebeke. In case you weren't listening, what they're planning to do, what has been suggested by a boffin in Australia, is that you toss the coin, and then obviously you have to call, and the person that loses the toss, I mean, I suppose it depends on the format, doesn't it, really, of a game. But let's say it was a T20 game. You could say, okay, then, and you'd come up with a figure. Say it's, I don't know, 10, 15 runs on the basis of losing the toss. You think that's the handicap. And then that goes back to the captain who won, who can then choose
to battle
based
bowl,
on
that
15 runs, whether to bat or bowl.
David Burden's been in touch on this very thing. Wins toss, okay, 20 runs behind if you bat first. Yeah, okay, fine. All out. -5.
Yeah.
Which could easily happen, couldn't it?
It could do.
Didn't bother the scorebook.
I'm not sure. It's just overcomplicated. But as I said, any sport that's got Duckworth Lewis Stern in it, you can't worry about overcomplicating things, can you?
I think
we reached out to these people, but they didn't get back to us. Maybe you could argue that's probably a good thing, considering what they do and the level of violence involved in what they do. But in a controlled environment. Because this is the people who organise the world shin kicking competition.
Lovely stuff. This is right up my street, Paul.
Yeah, it basically been on hold because of COVID. Because obviously, if you're going to kick someone in the shins, you're going to be pretty close.
You've
got to
be
really.
Quite. Yeah, unless you've got long legs. Yeah,
that's it. It's part of the Cotswold Olympics.
Yeah, lovely.
Contestants.
So we've got the cheese rolling, shin kicking.
Yeah. We can't do the cheese rolling. That's been outlawed. It's too dangerous.
There's a brilliant documentary on it on Netflix, actually.
Well, our old mate Andy Smart did it. Said it was, horrific. And he's a man who'll take on anything. And it was a bit too dangerous for him. But yeah, the Cotswold Olympics. And it's the World Shin Kicking Contest. So you'd be surprised to hear. The idea is to kick other people in the shins. Mm. They must be wearing shin pads.
I don't think so, Paul. I think probably the point is that you don't wear shin pads unless they've got those little ones that Jack Grealish wears.
Yeah.
And what was the story about it?
We just wanted to talk to them, find out a bit more. Kind of questions I'm asking you, Charlie, because you're
not
really
from
that part of the world. Well, they haven't come back to us. I mean, I would have thought they probably don't feel they need the publicity. Maybe they feel it's got a big enough global outreach without coming on to TalkSport. But it's effectively two people facing each other, kicking each other.
I think I've seen it. I think they have to hold each other's arms.
I'm watching a game of football in about 1972. One of them probably involving Leeds.
I think they have to hold each other's arms, and then they, I don't know if they put on some slow music, like let's get it on or something, and then they have to try and, I wonder if it's first to retire, just like, oh no, I can't take any more shin kicking. I don't want any more shin kicking. In my dad used to have a garage when we were kids, and he sponsored a bike race.
Oh, yeah.
He sponsored a bike race, and it was the bike race was at the hill climb up Widdicombe Hill, which is very
steep.
Is
it anything to do with Josh? Is that that is
No, they don't own the hill. Although, looking at his, who do you think you are?
They could do, yeah.
Probably
he could probably lay claim to it now, as after he was his direct descendant of Henry VIII.
Yeah. Anyway, Widdicombe Hill is like a sort of 20% hill, like a really tough old hill. And all these cyclists turned up and, you know, they raced up this hill. And we're talking sort of very early 90s, I think, like that. Widdicombe Hill, really, really tough, horrible hill. Mm. One bloke turned up, back of an old mini club, and not the new mini club, and the old mini clubman, where you had the back doors that opened outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he pulled out this bike, and it looked like he made this bike himself, basically. Mm. Put this bike together, got on it, and went up the hill about a minute faster than anyone else.
Wow.
Like, absolutely thrashed everyone. And that bloke was Chris Boardman. He was.
Is it true?
This is a true story.
It's true.
This Chris Boardman
turned up. I didn't see that story finishing, and that man was.
What a great story to take those.
That man was. And he turned up, and he ran twice as fast as anybody else, and that man was Adam Jamini. It's just, there's always stories like that. You'll never guess who it was.
And that man was.
He scored 12 goals, got back in his car, and he went, and that man was Jairzinho.
Yeah.
I mean, just in the middle of Shropshire, who would have thought it?
Middle of Devon, middle of nowhere. I think my dad had put some sort of prize money on. I've no idea what. We should probably get him on and tell the story better than me. But
he can tell us about his world's longest pee competition.
We haven't got time for him to come on and tell the story. So he turned up, built this bike himself.
Well, he nailed the hill. Boardman bikes are big sellers, aren't they?
And then he went and won the Olympics. And we were like, who was that bloke? Amazing, wow. And then when you see
him
in the
Olympics... He had a better bike when he won the Olympics, though. Yeah. That would have been a bit Alf Tupper, the tough of the track, otherwise. But the idea that he'd turn up at the Olympics with a hand-built bike that he went up a hill in Widdicombe Hill on. Yeah.
You might imagine that when you're in the middle of Devon. Look at that, Chris. Yeah. He's at the Olympics now.
Wow.
Told you he was fast.
That's a good story.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
I wasn't expecting it to end.
And that bloke was Eddie Merckx. May as well have been, you know.
In Widdicombe Hill, he was travelling the world as a kind of a hired gun, just making money from car dealers.
Bike for hire.
Yeah, what about that? Ralph Ranick, when he checks out... Ralph Ranick. That was the other thing we asked you about today.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a ventriloquist, that's really hard to say. It's unlikely to feature in your act, is it really? How often are you going to talk about Ralph Ranick?
Can you say, put your shoes on.
Put your shoes on. Anyway... the reason I bring this up is that he's got a thing about tattoos. What everybody's doing at the moment, because apart from the sort of normal platitudes you get when someone gets a new job via the club website,
because
he's an interesting character, he's been interviewed a lot over the years, and he's done lots of different things. Did a big thing on the Coach's Voice, big interview, been said, just did stuff for the Athletic as well. So he's been interviewed a lot. So there's lots of things. And so we kind of know a lot about what he thinks. And he's got a problem with tats.
Has he?
Yeah, he doesn't like players with a lot of tattoos. And quite a few of the Manchester United players are multi-tatted, aren't they?
Every footballer's got tattoos. Yeah. I think there's very few. I think it's Ronaldo who hasn't.
He sees players who have them as attention-seeking and not team players. So, I mean, some of the things they're already saying about Cristiano Ronaldo and his role in the sort of pressing team. I mean, once he takes the shirt off and he sees the tattoo thing.
Well, has he got a lot of tattoos, Ronaldo?
He's got none.
He hasn't got
Ronaldo's
any.
Ronaldo's got none.
Well, perfect.
Famously got none.
Perfect.
In that case,
one-man team.
He'll be the first name on the team sheet. Because new research, we may be speaking to the boffin behind this, which is coming out of Finland's Helsinki University Hospital, is that tattooed footballers, they score 42% more goals than players without tattoos. But they're also more likely to get a yellow card. Because the kind of machismo, maybe of the body art, they claim. So this guy's done all the research.
Yeah. I think nearly everyone you meet has a tattoo now, Paul. It's not special anymore.
Everyone.
I would say a large majority.
You got one, Charlie?
I've got none, Paul.
I haven't got one.
Oh,
I haven't got one. No, I haven't got one.
I've got one of Joe Grealish, who I mentioned earlier on. Joe Grealish, apparently.
Grealish. There's probably a Joe Grealish in the Grealish family.
Can only apologise.
Jack's uncle Joe joins us on Line 3.
Sport.
Good old Joe Grealish. Anyway, anything else you want to discuss, Charlie?
That's all I've got. I've got no tattoos, Paul.
You got no tattoos?
I might get one. When I get really old.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of the wrong time to do it.
Why?
Isn't it?
Because they're going to sag, aren't they, anyway? So you may as well get like 1 minute.
What's going to sag?
Well, your skin's going to
Okay, right. Okay,
me 80s. Going to do everything.
What are you going to, on the arm? What are you thinking?
I'd like a sailor's one. Like a fisherman's one.
An anchor.
An anchor.
Would you
an anchor on one arm.
An old school.
And my wife's name and a big heart on the other arm. Just like Popeye, you know?
Do people still go in for them, I wonder? People still going for a couple
old school, yeah.
Popeye tattoos. And
apparently there's a star or like a dolphin, you know? Yeah. Swallow.
You know, well, it's been lovely chatting to you. And the bus is running later than I thought, but it's been, honestly, you meet some interesting people. I tell you what, I hope to see you again.
I gave you the Chris Boardman anecdote. That's gone out of me dinner.
I do hope to see you again. And it's been, and I'll still dine out on the Chris Boardman. I'll tell it like it's my own.
You can take that, Paul.
There we are. Bit of a quiet day, as you probably gathered. But there's still Premier League football to be played.
Yes, lovely. Looking forward to that tonight.
We'll be looking at the game between Leeds United and Crystal Palace. I wonder if Leeds are still doing what they're... I wonder if the players, I wonder if Bielsa has taken a leaf. If you ever go and find this old footage, it's amazing. I doubt if it still goes on. And old school Leeds fans will remember this. It's the soaping down of the Leeds players. Ooh. The Leeds players would sort of lie on the bench, and Don Revy and Les Cocker, the physio, they would soap them down quite vigorously.
Yeah.
They'd be lying on
their
fronts.
I'm not going to Google this, Paul, because I don't know where I'll end up.
It's an amazing bit of footage, kids. If you've never seen it, it's quite amazing. Of Les and Don, honestly, and I think it's Big Jack in this particular case.
Oh.
He's probably got a ciggy on
soaping
Jack. Soaping
them
on
down.
The bench. A proper full-length soap. It's like they're at the Turkish baths.
Yeah.
It's
I'm not Googling any of these things you've just said.
Go and check it out.
I don't want to.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. Charlie, you're back on Thursday.
Yeah.
Andy with me tomorrow. So thanks for joining us. If you can join us on one tomorrow, great. If not, podcast available around 4 o'clock. Have a good night.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.